CliffCentral.com.
All right, let's get your morning started. It is a Tuesday. It's the 11th of August, and CliffCentral.com is here to keep you company. We want to take your messages on 0797482090. Has anyone heard the news on how the Cuban doctors have helped since they were deployed? Do you have any word on that?
Not from my side, no.
No, me neither. Yeah, if anybody's been treated by a Cuban doctor, we'd love to hear from you.
Is that part of the point this person is trying to prove?
Maybe that's one of the secrets, is that the Cuban doctors, yeah. There's no reason to have them in here. Why are you playing the Death Squad coffin song? Because I thought it was hilarious.
Yeah, Gareth, you're giving us a lot of plans inadvertently that you want for when you pass. So ideally, between shows, and then also play the Death March. Okay.
Yeah. Bring it on. Make it funny. Elaine says, talking about the ANC earlier, I couldn't take any of their Women's Day messages seriously. You have Nkosasana Dlamini Zuma, who's the destroyer of female livelihoods, and Thandi Modise, who left her farm animals to die while she was in parliament. Meanwhile, GBV is out of control, just like the party. Nice lip service, I'll pass. Yeah, exactly. I don't believe what anyone says anymore. I believe what you do.
Well, I couldn't take the JMPD seriously with what they did for Women's Day.
I was stopped by them yesterday on the way home.
Did you notice anything in particular?
No, the officer who asked me to pull over was very polite and very nice, and I was polite in return, and I said to him, you can check my license, you can check my fines, they're all up to date, and then he let me go. But what did they do yesterday?
They launched Women's Month with, oh, great innovation, an all-female roadblock.
Oh, God. Oh, please. Is that meant to be something we're proud of? Really?
According to them, the aim is to remind motorists to stay safe during this time and to urge people to stand up against gender-based violence.
Really?
And to shine a light how the JMPD is breaking boundaries when it comes to male-dominated departments.
That's quite actually horrific.
Who signed this off as a great idea?
No, it's very dumb. It's dumb, dumb,
and
dumb.
Then it also means, okay, so the men just get a day off on Women's Day.
All right, so let's talk about this thing, Sia, you discovered. Sia's been doing research into interesting things, and he found a survey that says the average person, you, me, anyone else, is keeping 13 secrets right now, and five of them are secrets you've never told another soul. Sure.
You wonder.
I have to think very hard about secrets. You know, when you have a radio show every day for 2 hours a day, you kind of have to eventually let all the secrets out.
Yes.
But I'm trying to think if there's anything really important. I mean, obviously you keep secrets like, you know, if there's someone who's who's had some kind of marital indiscretion, like all of Mbulelo's friends by the sound of things. You kind of keep that to yourself. It's none of your business. I don't go around revealing things to people like some kind of village gossip. But I think it's possible that this is true for not just me, but for a lot of us. So five secrets you've never told a living soul.
So just to set the scene, these stats come from a paper that was published called the Journal of Personality and Social Psychology. The people behind this paper surveyed 13,000 different people.
Right.
And they broke down secrets into 10 different studies.
Okay.
The researchers asked the participants if they were keeping any type of common secrets, and they looked at categories that range from infidelity to financial secrets to secret hobbies. And the most common secrets that people shared with no one else were extra relational thoughts, no surprise here. So that means thinking of something romantic or sexual about someone other than your partner.
Yeah, it makes
romantic
sense.
Desire.
Right. Yes.
Sexual behavior and just other common lies.
So years ago, I used to follow a blog called Post Secret. And so they now have the guy that started it also has exhibitions, and now he has an Instagram page also called Post Secret. It's got about 365,000 followers. And what he's, when he started the blog, he used to, why it was called Post Secret is you could write a secret on a postcard and mail it to him. And then he would write about it. He'd post all these photographs, all these postcards. And they have like really crazy secrets on here. So just here's one. I don't know if you can see that. And it says, I have kept an item that belonged to each person that I've ever had sex with.
Wow. Yeah.
That's a little worrying in just crazy sense.
So here's one from Dallas that says, my BFF hid his AIDS because he didn't want to be fired. He died on a sick day.
Jesus. Wow. I think that's a big secret for a lot of people.
But like this Post Secret, and I've been following it for years.
Listen to this. This is anonymous. My friend has been banging his brother's wife in lockdown. His brother is a doctor and has been working full time while the wife was living large at home. No names. Listen to this. Now we've got a lot of these. Just hang on. Here's another one. I stole a child's puppy. Probably the most horrible thing I have ever done. Joy. I was at a party. Here's a different one. I was at a party with friends. We were totally wasted, and my brother's girlfriend at the time was also there, and we were all a bit tipsy. She came over to me, called me by his name, asking what I'm doing here. And before we knew it, we were making out. Luckily, we didn't have sex. To this day, my brother doesn't know about it. Yes.
You see, so maybe I'm not such Mr. Bad Guy when I was telling you the truth.
Yeah.
See, close your mouth. You're going to catch flies. Have you never heard that?
But this thing about what happened to the bro code, man? And literally.
Yeah.
No.
Sleeping with your brother's partner?
Yeah, no.
And listen, my advice, I know, I hate to sound like a broken record. The guy needs a second cell phone. Whoever that guy who's banging his brother's wife, tell him now.
Just keep it in his pants.
No. Second cell phone. We're here now, guys. We're here now. It's happened. If we're going to keep this thing going, don't break up a household. They probably have kids.
Let's keep that a secret.
Or get a second cell phone.
So I don't know about you, but I don't have a secret that flat out nobody knows about. But I do have secrets where at least one person knows, just so that I can have that peace of mind of having to vent to that person when I think about it or when I'm bothered by this.
So do you want to hear something unbelievably boring that takes a saucy subject and makes it boring? Is in the Hegelian sense, Hegel always said, the secret serves a function in a relationship. Is it's actually no good for you in a relationship to know your partner entirely. We entered a time about 150 years ago called romanticism.
Yes.
Which is the notion for, so most people think, marriage has always been forever about loving the person that you marry. But for a long time, it was, of course, purely functional and transactional.
Yes.
But then 150 years ago, this notion of romanticism entered, where not only are you going to marry somebody that you like, you must love them. And that changed the whole dimension. But Hegel said, actually, knowing your partner and the lack of a secret, the lack of any sort of interest or mystery in them is the end of the relationship.
I think that's true.
That is a Hegelian theory for you on secrets.
There's lots that you should not be privy to, no matter how much you want to know it.
Yeah.
So if you had to do like a tally in your life right now, how many secrets would you say you're keeping? Apart from like little light or frivolous things like...
The thing is, I've always wondered what secrets are because my liberal notions mean I don't look at something like, oh no, someone's cheated. Like to me, I don't think that's a big thing. So my secrets, the boundaries for them are really, really far out. So I think there are very few.
There are probably lots of financial things, which I just don't think are anyone else's business. You know,
but that's not a secret. Yeah. I think a secret is something different. A secret is something that you're purposefully keeping away from everybody else, whether it's because of shame, whether it's because of being afraid of being shamed about that thing. But it really fundamentally, the purpose it serves, Mbulelo, is one to keep you safe.
Here's some breaking news. The Secret Service in America had to pull Donald Trump out of a press briefing because there was a shooter outside the White House, but he went straight back in and a reporter said to him, "Mr. President, are you rattled at all?" So he said, "I don't know. Do I look rattled?" And carried on at the press conference.
Is this real?
Yes, yeah, just happened now.
No, you know what I think about the killer. That's not cool. No.
So here's another secret from Post Secrets.
Yeah.
During quarantine, I took batteries out of my kids' toys and put them in my vibrator.
By the way, just let me clear up for anybody who's just started listening to us. Pumi is not divulging her own secrets here. She's reading off of a blog that she follows where people reveal their secrets.
Is that all too bad, though? It's called self-care for a reason.
Zandi says, and this is not a confession, so I can mention her name. On the recommendation of Sia Sangweni, I tried the de-alcoholized red wine. Damn, it tastes like vomit. I have only myself to blame. I will never listen to Sia Sangweni again. Oh. That's from Zandi.
Sorry, Zandi. Okay.
Firm but fair, Zandi. Firm but fair.
I thought I was helping. I thought it was a call to action. I actually went to get some a couple of days ago and it was all sold out. I thought,
Please stop giving people advice, Sia.
I will keep it to myself.
Here's an anonymous person who wants to say, proof that women don't talk. I have been sleeping with colleagues for 2 years now, and both of them know I have a girlfriend.
Awesome.
These people work together weekly. Yo.
I love it.
Yo.
Wait. Please read that message one more time.
Okay. Proof that women don't talk. I've been sleeping with colleagues for 2 years now, and both of them know I have a girlfriend. These people work together weekly.
Okay, person, let's call him Mike.
Yeah.
Mike is sleeping with two of his colleagues.
Correct.
Both of these colleagues know that Mike is in a relationship.
Yes.
But not with the other person.
Yes.
Sure.
Isn't that great?
I'm starting to realize I have such a boring life.
Good for you, Mike. Good for you. And in fact, Mike, big respect. Start a blog and start teaching guys out here because I think I told you, because I'm in an entanglement myself at the moment. I told you a couple of weeks ago where a friend of mine, a very, very close friend, a lifetime friend, cheated on, or he's been in this lifestyle for a while. But the worst part is he's never let me know. Like I knew from just, you know, you can pick up these patterns. But he let me know, and it turns out he called me in panic because his wife is now calling me, right? Or his girlfriend of 6 years. And I've ignored the calls 2 weeks. He's put me under pressure now. Now I'm part of the lie. So, Mike, however you've been doing, release the blog. Because guys are the game's changed here, and guys aren't ready to keep it.
Somebody's going to have to tell me, Mbulelo. One of these days, you're going to have to tell me why the lies. Like why not just have like why not just be open about the relationship? Why not be open about your what it is that you need? Why lie?
So have you heard
why not give everybody the opportunity to make a decision about whether they want to be here or not?
Well, again, going back to that Hegelian thing, is sometimes it's nice to have secrets. There is something alluring to it. But do you know who Esther Perel is? She's got an interesting way. Yeah, and Esther talks about this beautifully. But, you know, for me, I just think people make unrealistic promises to each other. And this might sound quite brutal, is everyone who thinks you are enough for another person, get that nonsense out of your head right now. No one person can satisfy a person's spectrum of needs. So for me, I'm like, you know, people, because we're so conditioned to, if you love me, I am enough, I will be everything to you. If you break the sanctity of that, it's the end. No. The
reality. I am so shocked as to why you aren't officiating weddings, because so far your monologue sounds inspiring.
He's not a big believer in weddings, as we have gathered from previous discussions. But let's turn this into a character assassination of Bolelo, just because we don't agree with what he's saying.
Or our listeners, as you can hear, Sia, that I'm not actually as crazy as I sounded at the beginning.
So here's another one. Sia, someone's answering your question. The bro code, Sia, goes out of the window when it comes to lust. To be honest, I broke that bro code many times. Now I'm thinking about writing a book about it. I might lose many friends. That's just how I get rid of the guilt, I think. Anonymous.
But this is for me to answer your question, even in a just very surface level, sometimes it's easier to lie. It is easier to just say that you have a long meeting or a meeting at 7 p.m. and go out and see your mistress, as opposed to having to sit your wife down of 12 years and say, listen, actually, I'm unhappy because of X, Y, and Z. It's way
lying is
to
never
lie.
Easier. Do you hear the amount of work Bulelo's friends are doing? Lying is
dealing
never
with
easy.
Dealing with the repercussions.
Passwords. It's never easier.
No, so dealing with the repercussions if the truth comes out is not easier. But lying, way easier.
So, Sia, I just want at this stage, because Sia is getting active anxiety as we're discussing these salacious topics. Have you heard of... Do you know that there are polyamorous communities out here? I don't know.
Right. Uh-huh.
So, Pumi, are you suggesting people should maybe be polyamorous rather than lie?
Yes. Like,
okay, so let's be open. You know that I'm going to Michelle's house on Thursday night. Mm-hmm. You and the kids are staying at home. Like that open.
Big love, baby. Big love.
Big love. There. Okay. Well, then fair dinkum, as they say in Australia, I say.
You know, financial secrets are also a big thing, and specifically in relationships. A friend of mine a couple of years ago, when her relationship was getting very serious, and she had debt, a personal loan upwards of 100K, and she was getting very apprehensive about when to mention this, because now the relationship is getting serious. And, you know, if you're talking about building a future with someone and you have to talk about, you know, are we going to buy property together? Where will we live? What sort of lifestyle will we have? When do you bring something up like that? And she lied. No, she lied for months, and she started just paying it off as much as possible. Just to lower that debt up until it got to what she deemed like a bit of a manageable amount. And that's when she confessed. She was like, okay, yeah, have this debt on the side.
Hmm. My God. All right, well.
Have this debt on the side. Ooh, guys.
Yeah,
guys.
It's comic debt.
Because that would be a deal breaker.
I heard another story, if you want to hear a really incredible one.
Go on.
Summarized is... So this lady was in a relationship with a guy for about 3-4 years. But there kept being this ex-girlfriend who kept pestering him, right? Yeah. This guy. And he was a foreign national. And she kept wondering, why don't you just cut her out of your life? Because he kept sending her money and stuff like this. And he's like, she's being so abusive. Just cut the hell out of her life. Anyway, the guy kept lying. 3 years later, doesn't she, you know, as the fairer sex can do, goes looking for what she wants. Doesn't she find a marriage certificate to the ex-woman, which was obviously part of his visa to be able to stay here? He was married to her. This is real, people.
So here's Anonymous Mike coming back to us, all right? It's not his real name, so you don't have to tell.
Yes.
Anonymous Mike says, I was honest with those women that I'm not single. That should count for something. I always say they can exit at any time.
I like that he says it should count for something. Yeah. What about, there's a third woman in there, Mike, the one we call your girlfriend. What happened there?
Yes, Mike.
I like how he makes himself feel better by going, hey, I was honest with my side chicks, but like, what's the problem here?
Yeah. Bolololololololo has these opinions about relationships because he's never truly fallen in love. I've been with my wife for 12 years and we're going as strong as ever. So screw you, Mbolelo. There's an interesting... There's a secret. I like that.
Not good for you.
Fair enough.
Guys, I've lived that cheating life, says Anonymous. The stress, not worth it. Tell the truth. Yeah. Oh, my God. The stress of keeping a secret is too much. Plus, you have to remember everything. You have to remember two versions of the, three versions of the truth. Please, it's too much work, man.
But nothing, I'm not trying to make life sound like a bed of roses, but nothing is better than when you have fessed up to something and it's just like, take it or leave it. Here you go. This is me, warts and all. And then it's up to how the other person is going to choose to respond to it, but it can't be used against you anymore. It's not something that you feel like is this dark cloud over you. There's nothing more liberating, in my opinion.
Well said.
Well, Percy Bysshe Shelley always used to say, truth has always been found to promote the best interest of mankind.
Well, caveat, I'm just talking about, you know, if you were running late and you said your cat had died, that's all I'm talking about. Don't listen to me for relationship stuff.
No.
Tomorrow morning we get a flood of messages. Well, see ya, I just got divorced now.
My mom always used to say, you don't have a good enough memory to be a good liar.
That's the truth. That is fantastic. Yeah, you need to have a brilliant memory to actually pull off being a really good liar. And I've on very many occasions in my life where I've told lies, I've been caught out because my memory isn't so good. Like I honestly, and I don't remember bad things, which is I suppose some kind of survival mechanism. It would have served me well in, you know, ancient and more barbaric times because I don't carry trauma. So that's a good thing. But what it does mean is that I'm incapable of telling really good lies because I forget the bad experiences. Or they get filed somewhere in a folder that's locked and zipped and hidden in a part of my brain where I really have to do a lot of work to get it out. So to lie is much more difficult then. You've got to remember the timeline, you've got to remember who was there, you've got to remember the names, you've got to remember the faces, you've got to remember the conditions, and I just don't. I mean, I can't even tell you what the weather was like yesterday, more than 24 hours after the fact.
And then you have to prime other people. Sometimes, like Mulelo finds himself, you then also have to prime other people about what's happening. Oh, God.
Plus you have
so
to be,
much work,
plus
guys.
You really have to be invested. Like, it has to mean something to you. I don't actually care about any of these stories because in the long span of human history, whether or not person X was sleeping with person Y is completely unimportant. You know, we all, in the moment, we all think our relationships and our finances and our health and all of those things are the most important things, obviously, because it's about us, right? But if someone was writing the history of 2020, those things would not even make a footnote. And yet, to us, they're important. You're like, person A's husband cheats with person C, makes person B feel bad. It's just not a story that will be carried over for more than 15 minutes.
So what were the other types of secrets? So there's relationship, there's money. What were the other ones, Sia?
Health.
Things like secret hobbies as well. Oh. But that's very frivolous.
Secret hobbies.
Like if it's maybe gambling, no, that's still a financial.
No, it could be.
Yeah, gambling is a big one. I wonder how many people's spouses lie about their gambling.
Yeah, my cousin had that revealed with a guy, with her husband, who she now or partner who she has three kids with. No, it was a family. It was a mess. It was like a proper mess. But some people are, where their secret is like, I know fantasy football in America is a big one, you know, where men will, because there it's like a full-on weekend outing where guys will go and gather, or fantasy baseball. So they'll keep that from their wives. It's almost like a space where it's just dude time. And then, I do know one guy who got caught and his girlfriend was upset. It was a whole thing that she felt left out, blah, blah, blah. You know how relationships go. But anyway, so fantasy football, that's a real thing.
But Gareth, do you have that perspective when it comes to your own life as well? This, it won't matter in the greater scheme of things in 5 years. It won't be a big deal, so I'm not going to worry about it today.
Well, look, some things have lasting consequences. Like if you cheat on someone, that will damage that relationship in perpetuity. But if it's some small secret, like I'm trying to think of one that would count.
Like you broke my favorite mug.
Yeah, I mean, really, is that going to matter in a month's time? I mean, it might become a subject for a joke. And whenever I see you, I'll be like, oh, your mug, and you'll be laughing, and I'll be laughing. But really, like people, we completely overestimate the importance of our story in the mix of all the other stories. Like, it's only important because it's your story. And you've got to remove your – sometimes the ego plays really big tricks on us, and we start to think that our life is as interesting as the lives of those people whose stories are on – you know, the front page of a newspaper or in the on the TV.
But sometimes it can get out of control, right? So it can get, like, bigger than you.
Yeah.
Like people who've lied about their qualifications.
Oh, yes. Yeah, sure. Ah. That's a big deal. Yeah, that's a very big deal. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Because you kind of it's a small thing initially, and you keep it to yourself, and you don't tell – and then – One day.
I just want to point out something Adam sent me a little while ago. A very important news story. Adam, I've got to congratulate him for this. He says, today is the fourth anniversary of the time that Julius Malema said, the Zumas and the Guptas are molesting South Africa without Vaseline. Remember that day? Very important day. So let's just take a moment to breathe that in.
I've forgotten about that. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Jen. Very nice.
I think I was better not knowing that.
Amen.
Yeah. Sure.
Without Vaseline.
I hope the people who message in feel better.
Yeah. All right. Well.
Like Mike.
Wow.
Let's just look.
Hey, at Mike. I'm not sure about you anymore.
Oh, a little bit later on.
I'm on your side, Mike.
A little bit later on, we will be talking about something which we've started a series. It's called Being Accountable, and it's with SICA, the South African Institute of Chartered Accountants. So we'll be talking to them in a little while from now, about 10 to 15 minutes from now. But you can send us your messages on 079-748-2090. It's Tuesday. It's a short week. Women's Day was yesterday, or rather on Sunday, and then we had yesterday as a holiday. Here are a few points. Ruth says, my boyfriend lied about being with someone when he met me, and it still haunts me at times. Huh. Ah.
Mm. Ah. Okay. Wait. Is it her boyfriend now?
Yes.
Mm. And he was with someone else. Wow.
Listen to this. Here's a confession. I married my ex-husband knowing fully he was gay and kept it from my family just so that they could stop introducing me to men. we stayed married for 5 years. We stayed married for 5 years. That's from Anonymous, and Anonymous also says it was the best years of my fucking life.
Of course, because having a gay best friend is delightful.
Yeah, so
you got a beard.
Yeah, she was a beard. Well,
you watch rom coms together.
Sounds like he was actually helping her out because her family were driving her crazy because they were introducing her to men the whole time.
A double win, by the way, double win, because then she's also doing whatever she wants sexually.
Yes, exactly.
She's got popcorn and let's cry about life and its oddities, and then also physically, bye, Mike, see you whenever, bye.
There are levels to lies, and I think that is right at the top tier.
Well, here's a good one.
I saw a tweet yesterday.
Here's a really great secret. Hang on. Two of my friends... are secretly sleeping together. They both tell me about how good or bad the other one is in bed and other things. Only since it's a secret, they didn't tell each other that they both told me.
See, I don't like being told secrets like that, because that's a lot of responsibility. You could devastate their lives if you told the other.
Yeah, but I don't see. This is where that secret doesn't, in my mind, it doesn't carry a lot of responsibility, because who am I going to tell? Like, I don't get joy out of sharing other people's bedroom secrets. I mean, like, I don't even like it when people confide in me emotionally. I find it exhausting. Like, don't tell me. I'm really not that interested. So. If you told me these secrets, I'd be like, okay, all right, yeah, that's fine.
This is why 6 years in Cliff Central still doesn't have a full-fledged HR department.
Exactly.
Yeah. You don't want to know that.
I don't want to know. I don't care about that.
You know what?
But you are right.
Go be sad somewhere else.
I don't think have I ever asked you if you're dating someone?
No.
Because I don't care.
Yeah.
I don't give a shit if you're dating someone. It's none of my business.
It's awesome.
I've known Sia for 6.5 years. I have never met any man that he's been involved with. We've spoken about funny things on the show to do with that. I'm not interested in who he's having sex with. None of my business.
But you are right that part of it is an ego thing. Either keeping the secret or just being a secret keeper. It's this ego thing to make you feel important. Because when I think about it, we now laugh at it in retrospect, but I was very disappointed with how my family handled my coming out.
Because they didn't make a fuss?
Oh my, yes! And this is a big deal.
You wanted a fuss.
You watch every single teenage drama and the character has to come out and it's a big sob fest. And, you know, this is a pivotal moment in your life. Ugh. So disappointed.
Here's the thing. Though.
It's unbelievable.
Here's the thing in that disappointment. And because a lot of people do keep that secret, right? Mm. Do you think it was a secret to them before? Because I don't see you much as like, I'm keeping this a secret. You're the singing along to my opera. They knew it was coming.
Listen, guys. I'm sorry to make this less about Sia, but we've got some great secrets rolling in, and I don't want to miss out on any
Keep
of these.
Keep them coming.
All right, so Robert was
hit us. Hit us with the good stuff.
All right, Robert was about to send us a secret, and then I said the message was deleted, and he said, "Sorry, I changed my mind." Yes,
Robert, trust us.
Here's a secret.
We'll forget your name was Robert.
All right, go, Pumi.
Here's a secret from my favorite. 25 years ago, I talked somebody out of becoming a suicide bomber for a terrorist organization.
Wow.
Holy smoke.
Holy shit, that's a biggie. That's a big secret.
Wow. You see, now we're talking, because on the scale of secrets, it starts at Watergate, right? What's the fallout going to be?
Listen to this one. Here's another good one. Anonymous says, this is another anonymous. My dad was married to my stepmom for 5 years when he found out she was having a lesbian affair. Her salary was 2 times as much as she claimed, and she was building a house behind his back. Needless to say, they are no longer together. That's 3 things this woman was doing. 3 things. Yes. That's all 3 of her secrets. That's all 3 of them. Here's another one. My dog killed my neighbor's cat. One night late at night, the stupid thing climbed through the kitchen window and my boy caught him. It was like a murder scene. They had lost kitty posters up for months. I didn't have the heart to tell them. Sorry, that's terrible.
Oh. But I'm not sensing a lot of remorse there, because the message says, you know, that stupid thing climbed over. So it's almost as if it had it coming.
Listen to this. Another anonymous. My wife and I are both bisexual and in an open relationship, but our 2-hour monthly sex sessions are still great. Life is for living, man. Jesus, well done to you.
Wow. Wait, 2 months this is together happening. As a married couple, and then the rest of the time they were, oh, okay.
No, they have sex every month for 2 hours. That's amazing. Yeah. Good for you.
No, like,
good for you.
Honey, you know what time it is.
If you want to live your life.
Over the month.
Yeah. 15-minute intervals here and there.
Listen to this. Someone making a very good point about Sia. I do not think that Sia will be able to keep secrets. I mean, he loves drama. He will even snitch on his own mother, him and Aunt Tabitha.
No, that's true. No, that's true. I did share it on the show. It was last year sometime when I had to keep my cousin's pregnancy for 3 months up until, you know, they got to a point where it was safe enough to tell everyone. And that's when I accepted that I don't like keeping secrets. Yeah. I will at least have to tell one person to share the load. So don't tell me anything you don't want shared with someone.
I can keep a secret, but I don't want to. It feels like it's a responsibility. I'm just not prepared to. So don't bring it to me.
I'm with you. I'm too selfish to keep your secrets. I'm with you at the. I don't want to hear it purely because I'm a self-preservationist.
Yeah, I don't want the responsibility. And then what? Something happens, or worse. You tell like three people, and I'm one of the three, and then you think I'm the one who let it out. I don't want that responsibility. Just rather don't tell me.
My fear is always what you said, is my nightmare is the emotional fallout of secrets. I don't want to be there for you. I don't. I've got so much better stuff to do than hear you whinge. Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you believe in keeping a secret with good intentions?
Yeah.
What good intentions?
Let's say you know, for example.
Like a surprise party.
No, let's say you know that someone's kid is adopted.
Mm.
But they don't know. The kid doesn't know that they're adopted. And the parents have said, please don't tell them. Of course, you keep that secret with good intentions. None of your business to reveal that.
It's not your story.
Precisely. Okay, well, let's make it more real. A situation I've had to deal with before is, let's say you see... Pumi, let's say you have a brother or a sister. I'm not sure of your family setup. You see your brother at a party cheating on the wife, right? But there's two kids that are 4 and 6, right? And she'll never find out. What do you do then? Do you keep that secret? Because now there's two kids. Let's say she doesn't work. They're at private school. He's the provider. What do you do in that situation?
I would have a conversation with him.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. So now you're involved, hey?
Yeah. Oof. By virtue of seeing it, I would have a conversation with him.
I can mention her name because she's not revealing a secret, but Asha just wants to say, everyone on the show except Pumi is severely emotionally wonky. I love how you guys can laugh at yourselves, though. Oh, you're spot on. Yeah, Pumi is the only one who's not emotionally screwed up.
No, she's an adult.
Thanks, Asha. I'll just change my LinkedIn profile now. Emotionally wonky.
I love that. Oh, my God. Well,
wow, so this woman, you wouldn't feel responsible. You wouldn't feel the weight of having to keep a secret. You don't play that game.
No.
She would feel she's the most responsible. What are you talking about? She'd have the conversation with him.
And I think that the best thing that you can do for those two children is to have an open and honest conversation. Because if those parents cannot, for whatever reason, be happy with each other within that family situation, those children are not going to grow up. They're going to grow up emotionally wonky.
No, but
so
my question...
conversation. So they're 4 and 6. Mm. Those things, the fact that she cannot... send him to the private school, and he must continue sending his children to private school. It has nothing to do with them. Yeah. He
Here's
must continue
thing.
Sending his children to private school. What's his problem? It's his children.
But if you're imposing your narrative of what it should be on another household now, so let's say you don't know that this is the vibe there, and now you're bringing your, hey, this is how a nuclear family should be. And now you're involved. So I've been involved.
No, so my thing is...
Go ahead.
If that's why I would confront him. That's why I would have a conversation with him. And it is at that moment that he has an opportunity to say, wow, this is the way we live our lives. In which, and then I'm fine. Then we're all good.
We're all good, eh?
Yeah, then we're all good.
Yeah,
but
it's
if
a
it
tricky
is
one.
A secret, if it is a secret and he is keeping, she has a right to know.
Yeah.
And you would not play the game of someone asking you to keep it as a secret?
No. No.
Okay.
Sure.
Even with them begging, like, please, just don't tell anyone. You've spotted me, I own it, but please don't tell anyone.
If it's something, don't do it. Don't do it. If you don't want people to know, if you don't want it on the front page, don't do it.
Yeah.
I am not calling you when I accidentally murder someone.
No, she makes a good point. I'm not in any way opposed to what Pumi's saying here. I think that that's a sensible point of view. I like that.
It's a Kantian way of viewing things, right? Immanuel Kant brought us the
need for you to use that revolting language. Really. It's totally uncalled for. What a disgusting thing to say. We got a woman in this conversation. What's wrong with you? You disgrace.
I like that. Pumi's position is called, holding to what they call a categorical imperative.
Yeah. Okay.
So fair enough. There is truth or no truth. Fair enough. It's tough but fair. Tough but fair.
All right. Well, it is time for us to cross over to our little feature with this is something we're doing with SICA, the South African Institute of Chartered Accountants. And they're important because they're an industry body that really helps to promote the industry, regulate it, make sure that the people in it are all certified. And SICA have done a tremendous job of doing that. We've been meeting some people from SICA over the course of the last few weeks. But today we're going to talk to someone called Chantel Mulder. She is a CA herself. She's also SICA's Executive Director for Nation Building. And what she's responsible for is making sure that they are committed to the UN's 17 Sustainable Development Goals. So it's an interesting conversation. And we had one or two disagreements, but I think that Chantel really acquitted herself admirably in this conversation and taught me quite a lot about what SICA is actually doing and why they're committed to the UN sustainability goals.
All 17 of them.
All 17 of them, Pumi. And I think you might find this interesting too. So take a listen to this, cliffcentral.com, and don't forget that we will be with you tomorrow morning bright and early at 6 o'clock on a Wednesday for all the usual fun and shenanigans. And if you have secrets, please send them to Sia. Sia wants your secrets. Do not
tell Auntie Sia.
With peace and love, do not send me any more secrets. Send them to Sia Sangweni, please.
Then just at least understand that my sister's going to get it in our daily debrief call.
Absolutely. And one other thing that I'd like to say just before we go, we've all made our messages clear about Bob Mabena, who's a friend of ours, who we're very sad to have heard passed over the weekend. But Bob Mabena, we'll be replaying an interview that I did with him on the 9th of June in 2017 when he came into the studio. And it was really fun to have him there. And he was a great human being. And I'm very, very sad that Bob is no longer with us. And condolences and love to his family. So thank you for joining us. Coming up next, a little Be Accountable series, Season 1, Episode 3, and Chantel Mulder from SICA, our special guest. Stick around for that and more. Whether you call them bean counters or those who crunch the numbers, you can't get past the importance of efficient accountants. So if you run a business, you get to have a voice in hiring of staff, or as an accountant yourself, do you know the benefits of belonging to a professional body? Be Accountable is a progressive pathway to accounting excellence. It's brought to you by SICA, that is the South African Institute of Chartered Accountants, South Africa's foremost accountancy body and one of the leading institutes in the world. What do you think is needed to achieve decent lives for all on a healthy planet by the year 2030? That sounds impossibly difficult, but SICA are committed to the United Nations 17 Sustainable Development Goals in tackling population ethically and effectively. Here to tell us more in our Be Accountable series is Chantel Mulder. She is SICA's Executive Director for Nation Building. That sounds like a huge title. Chantel, does that carry a lot of responsibility?
It does, believe me, because, it speaks to actually the Sustainable Development Goals, so absolutely.
Okay, well, let's start with the Sustainable Development Goals. They don't seem like the traditional role that chartered accountants would focus on in their day-to-day jobs. So why are SICA and the members of SICA committed to finding solutions to the UN's Sustainable Development Goals?
Gareth, you must remember, as the profession, what we stand for is develop, influence, and lead. And many of our members are CEOs and CFOs of major listed companies.
Right.
And I think we all look and we all subscribe to Mervyn King and King Four.
Mm-hmm.
And if you have a look at where we're going, everything is about corporate social responsibility. It's about sustainability, because gone are the days when you have conversations around profits, 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 but it's all around how do we actually create sustainable businesses that will be around for the next 50 years? And if you have a look at some of the requirements around King 4, it's around putting in place social and ethics committees as part of your board subcommittees, mm-hmm. because it's become so important in this world in which we live in. And I think what we do need is we actually need a very different, as far as I'm concerned, world order.
Yeah.
We need to be having very, very different conversations in boardrooms. You have a look just what has happened with COVID.
Mm-hmm.
And how certain things and inequalities have become absolutely more glaring. So as the profession and psyche, I got my title when with our previous CEO, Terence Nombembe, as you know, who was then called the previous Auditor General, who was then called to assist the Zondo Commission.
Correct.
And he felt at the time, rightfully so, that the work that we'd already started within psyche was all about dealing with many of the sustainable development goals as has been defined today. So we started a long time ago, even in as early as 2002. And it wasn't difficult for us to say, but do we not believe that as a profession, we need to own this space? Our people are in senior positions. How do we drive it? What do we do? How do we show by example the impact and what we can contribute towards the achievement of the sustainable development goals?
So it's not really about doing the UN's work for them. It's making sure that companies are up to scratch with all the things that are happening in the world and that they're able to respond to modern challenges in the best possible way.
Gareth, absolutely. Because if you think about your integrated report, mm-hmm. it's not a normal set of financial statements anymore. Your integrated report actually has to report on sustainability. So as a profession, we've been doing it a long time ago. However, I just think it's now far more focused. We'll be saying, well, how can we take a leadership role? How do we actually believe some of these things must be reported on, that we can show impact on all the work that we're doing and the work that companies are spending? Because at the end of the day, it's all about sustainability and the development of people in society.
So tell me, with regard to these specific projects, because I think that's what people are also really curious about, is how do you define which projects to get involved in? What types of projects are you currently working on? And what impact are they having? This is the stuff that is difficult to measure, right?
No, not necessarily, because I think once we measure, I'm an accountant.
I'm just checking. You guys can measure everything. So if you couldn't measure this, we'd be in a lot.
Everything. It doesn't matter whether it's right. You've got to measure it. So we started in 2000. Actually, we started when we got our first African CEO, Ignatius mm-hmm. Sihuli, mm-hmm. now the CEO of KPMG. And I was at Psyche at the time, and he said to me, Chantal, off you go. Transform the profession. We've got a big problem. We will never be relevant in this country. We will become irrelevant because we've only got it's pale and it's male. And we started then, already as early in 2002, we started to say to ourselves, what are we going to do to transform our profession? And that transformation is defined that I can do nothing about the past, but I can do a lot about the future. So, you know, a lot of members look at our membership overall data and say, oh, look at the untransformed, but it's not true. You need to look at the under 35s and see how we're busy changing the landscape, both in terms of race and gender.
But this sounds a lot like the politicians meddling in everything. I mean, the politicians are the ones who come in and say, you need this many people of that color. You need this many people in wheelchairs. You need,
leadership role.
I mean, business, because if you want to, isn't business agnostic to these things?
No, not at all. Not at all. Initially, it was strange for them that a white woman was driving these projects, but I'm so committed to it because I'm committed to our country. I'm committed to dealing with proper education for our children. Because I think if you really have a look at even where we are today, our children in rural areas do not have proper education. They do not have access to running water. They do not have access to toilets. They do not have access to laptops.
Yeah, but you're talking about problems that we hire politicians to solve.
No, but I believe that as the profession, we all have our job to do. Because if you think that politicians are going to solve all these ills, it's never going to happen.
But then we shouldn't take our cue from them either when they tell us how we should run businesses.
we said, well, I agree with you, because as the profession, we took it upon ourselves to say, well, what are we going to do? Because nobody's going to solve our own issues.
Fair enough.
How can we make a difference in this country, which is sustainable? And we start dealing with poverty. We start dealing with issues such as poor education. We start working with youngsters in the areas and bringing people hope. So believe it or not, yes, we started off in 2002 with in the Eastern Cape, the most difficult province. And you know what we else did, what else we did? We started working to capacitate our historically black universities, because you cannot leave the historically black universities and the children there out of this conversation. So we could say, through the work that we've done, we subscribe to inequality. How do we deal with it? How do we deal with poor education? Massive projects that we've got running throughout the country with all our students in the universities. Our students are funded. We've raised significant funding from the private sector to be able to fund students properly and provide proper wraparound support to assist them with their university education. Well, we've made sure that
it sounds,
we work in the deep.
It sounds like you're getting into the details, which I like. I mean, these are all kind of the work that's been already recognized as successful models, right, that contribute towards these SDGs.
Yes.
So can you
what types of projects? And they all actually, there's many of them that we run, and it's focused very much on poverty, proper work for our people, working in the most rural areas, capacitating historically black universities, growing our own pool of black academics. So, you know, there's a tremendous amount of work that our profession has been doing, but collectively, it's not only us. We work in teams, we collaborate, we bring people together to work on this big dream of ours, to transform and make sure that our profession is representative, both in terms of race and gender.
So through your research, what are the sustainable development goal areas that will have the biggest impact on the country, in your opinion, and why?
I believe, from our own perspective, it's creating proper work for our people and upskilling our people, educating our people. And I mean, the late Madiba said, education empowers your people. And I don't ever think we must underestimate that. Our children, Gareth, I'm sad to tell you today, cannot read and write and string a sentence together. So let alone having laptops or whatever, we cannot get the basics right, and we cannot get the basics to our children. And that to me is an indictment. Because as long as our children have poor education and poor skill sets, how on earth are we permanently in our country bemoan we've got a shortage of skills? It's our own fault. We haven't skilled our people appropriately. I believe if you skill and educate your people, you could possibly take care of five of the SDG goals. And the other big goal for me, well, three, collaboration. We have to work together.
Right.
Nobody's an island. And the problem in South Africa, everybody likes doing things on their own little mountain. I'm doing it. It's my honor. It's my glory. Please look at me. No. People do not understand the power of collaboration.
Right.
We can do so much if we go together, and it's to get people with that mindset. So for me, collaboration, education of our people, and we've got to deal with our institutions, our public institutions.
Chantel, this is all really pertinent at the moment because it's Women's Month, right? And you mentioned gender. I'd be remiss if I didn't talk to you about the SDGs, which look at gender equality. Obviously, that aims to ensure that there is an end to discrimination against women and girls everywhere. So what do you think the key solutions are that this country needs to focus on to achieve that particular goal?
For me, we've got to deal with gender-based violence. Irrespective whichever way you want to slice and dice this, I think it's a disgrace for us to be living in a country where our women are so abused. And I don't think that our courts, our laws, enforcement have actually helped women enough. Because if I see where you educate women in families, you only have to look at the changes in the families. And we can see it from our Tatuka programs, how our girls flourish. And I'm proud to tell you that we have got more than 50% African women now joining as members, because we focus so hard working with the African women CEOs to assist them. But again, you know, the work that I've seen and working with abused women and organizations, Women are stuck in these relationships because they also don't have skill sets.
Yeah.
And they can't go out and fend for themselves and their family. And there's a kind of a dependency. And for me, it's an indictment to speak about gender equality when we cannot sort out gender-based violence. It's inconceivable to where I sit and how we deal with things.
Well, listen, this is certainly outside the ambit of what usually would have been considered important for accountants to busy themselves with, but that shows you how much the world has changed. And I think it's to the credit of Psyche that we're now able to take a much bigger picture view of the world around us and to see how businesses can have a positive effect on so many things around them. It's great to know that there's someone like you in charge there of these particular sustainable development goals. And all I can say is I wish you luck. It's good work that you're doing.
Gareth, thank you. Thank you. And anybody who wants to join or work with us, collaboration,
mm-hmm.
our doors are open. Together we can do and accomplish so much more, and particularly around gender-based violence and how we skill women and how we deal with it. Because, as you say, it is Women's Month, and it's still so sad to see what's happened to our women, even during lockdown. It's Absolutely. Been worse.
Well, Chantel Mulder, thank you so much for talking to us, and best of luck with the rest of your very important goals that are in league with the Sustainable Development Goals of the UN. And we will no doubt speak soon.
Thank you, and thank you for the opportunity. Have a great day.
Absolutely.
Bye.
Thank you, Chantel. Thank you. Be Accountable, a progressive pathway to accounting excellence, brought to you by SAICA, the South African Institute of Chartered Accountants. CliffCentral.com